Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know that we all share one thing in common. Don't we all want to know the truth about what's really going on here in this crazy, crazy world? So welcome to the 541st edition of SDG. And this message, this Sola Dea Gloria message, all for the glory of God, is titled 2022 Endgame Update Number 5. And then later in this message, folks, we're going to tie it all into using our spiritual discernment as believers to know and understand our real enemy. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, and this is in the King James, "And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" So in other words, folks, how can Christ and the devil ever agree? What do we as believers have in common with an infidel? So I hope you stay tuned to learn how we can discern the ways of our enemies, also known as the son of Belial or the Luciferians. But the bottom line, folks, is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. And as God's people, what are we doing? Well, we're just passing through. So let's all refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity. And be sure to stay tuned to find out the latest news that the lying mainstream media will never tell you as we dive deeper and deeper in America's new 9/11 events, which are unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. And folks, like I say every week and like I've been saying for 2 years now, remember, it all started with this lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. And as always, folks, let's look at something from a past episode. Now, we've spent a good deal of time on this concept known as mass formation psychosis. And this is one of our enemy's favorite ways to attack us. It truly is, folks. It's something they use. Now, Dr. Matthias Desmet was one of the first to recognize this form of mass hypnosis, also known as the madness of the crowds, and it can explain the strange behavior of about 20 to 30% of the general population. People have been mesmerized by whatever the scam du jour may be, and in the case of the recent couple years, Dr. Malone has called it the noble lies and dominant narrative, and I'm quoting Dr. Malone, concerning the safety and the efficacy of genetic vaccines. Now, Dr. Malone has picked up on what Dr. Desmet has done, and he has gone to further explain how the lies that have been propagated and enforced by the politicians and the pseudo-scientific bureaucrats and the pharmaceutical companies through the CIA-controlled mainstream fake news has been used, this methodology has been used by all these people create compliance and conformity, a form of brainwashing. Now, the most obvious example of this mass formation is back in Germany during the 30s and 40s. You know, this was a very highly educated, liberal in the classical sense of the word, not as today where we have these commies. I'm not talking about that when I say liberal. I'm referring to, you know, classic education, you know, laissez-faire type government, freedom. That's what liberal used to mean. So they were one of the most highly developed Western-thinking people. Yet how did they go so crazy and do what they did to the Jews? How did this happen to a civilized people? Well, it's mass formation psychosis. And right now it's happening on our population concerning a nation, Russia. And I know that might have made you cringe, But there's 150 million Russian people over there. I don't hear anybody praying for them, or very few. And that's a form of mass formation psychosis. We are going to stir the hatred of a world against these 150 million people because of the actions of one man. That's mass formation psychosis, folks. Now, in the case of COVID-19, the narrative started to fall apart. So they had to bring in this threat of nuclear war and cyber Armageddon to continue to fuel the fires of what I call fear porn. So leaders through the mainstream media and the government channels will continuously feed the beast with more and more messaging that focuses and further hypnotizes the masses on whatever the du jour may be. And right now it's the Russian-Ukrainian crisis and the threat of nuclear war and the threat of cyber attacks. Now, studies have suggested on a demographic basis that about 30% of the population can be brainwashed using these indoctrination narratives. And about 40% are in the middle, persuadable, and they may follow if no worthy alternative is presented or perceived. And then about 30% of the people on the other side of the curve fight against the false narrative. So it's very important that these 30%, folks, that's you and me, get to these 40% to turn that tide and create a majority so that we can stop these sons of Belial. Now, those that rebel and fight against the narrative become the enemy of the brainwashed and a primary target of aggression. And one of the best ways to counter mass formation is to go against the narrative and continue to speak out against it. And, folks, I'll tell you, when you do that, you get a lot of grief. You get a lot of headache. And it's sad, but it's true. So what I'd like to do, folks, is remind ourselves what this mass formation psychosis is and replay Dr. Robert Malone's mass formation conversion talk. And it's rather long. It's 13 minutes. But I think it's absolutely essential that we understand what's going on. And all you have to do is change the narrative from the scamdemic to this drive or this push for global thermonuclear war, which is what I'm hearing. There are so many people in government. We even, Lindsey Graham, folks, Lindsey Graham even proposed assassinating Putin. This is like dumping gasoline on a fire. It's not the way mature people who love and desire peace behave. And I don't even want to get into the failed diplomatic policies over the last 30 years concerning negotiations with the former Soviet Union, now Russia. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later. But right now, I'd like you to listen to Dr. Robert Malone's talk on mass conversion.
Matthias Desmet. He's a psychologist. He's also a statistician. He's at the University of Ghent. So this is Belgium. He's a European, but he speaks fluent English. Many of us are very impressed by his thinking. Bobby Kennedy, for instance, has met with him personally and spoken to him about his theories, as have many of my peers. I think Matthias is onto something, and he calls it mass formation psychosis. So when he says mass formation, you can think of this equivalent to crowd. So it's crowd psychosis. That's what we're really talking about. There's easy ways to fix groupthink by just bringing in dissenting voices and making sure you give them platforms. With mass formation psychosis, this is like hypnosis. It really is hypnosis. This is what happened to the German people. If you live in Europe or you are have a relative who's a Holocaust survivor, or also if you've lived behind the Soviet Union curtain, Eastern Europe, etc., this is a fundamental problem that people have, is understanding how can, for instance, the German people, who are highly educated, very liberal in the classic sense, you know, Western thinking people, how could they go so crazy, so deep into crazy land that they were doing what they did to the Jews? How could this happen to a civilized people? And this is the explanation for that. It has been a major focus of academic inquiry for decades and decades in Europe. So with what we're experiencing here, you have to have a set of preconditions. And walk with me back to, remember 2019? It seems like forever ago. The precursors for mass formation psychosis is you have to have a situation in which the population is decoupled from each other. They don't have social bonds. Everybody on their little cell phones and everything else, okay, where we're fragmented into our communities, Facebook communities and other things. Yes, there are tribes, but we're now in a situation where there's sub-tribes. Everybody's fragmented. Nobody's feeling connected, okay? There's got to be a lack of sense-making. The world has to somehow not make sense what's happening in the world. It just seems to be overwhelming. Things don't make sense. Remember how we were all kind of thinking this back in 2019 and we had the elections and what was going on? Clearly there's big forces at work there and nothing made sense. This leads to free-floating anxiety, which is the source of the greatest psychological pain. And my wife, for example, experiences this all the time. Many people do. So for her, she has this chronic sense of anxiety. She wakes up in the middle of the night, suddenly alerted to some thing that she's been dreaming about. So this sense of free-floating anxiety, things don't make sense. We're no longer connected to each other. And we also have free-floating discontent that things aren't right, and I don't like it very much, and I'm not sure where to put my finger on it. A lot of us had this feeling. Now think about what happened when the virus broke out. The world obsessed over this virus. Suddenly, every software person in the world was an expert on molecular virology and epidemiology. I had to deal with them, you know? It just, we all suddenly became obsessive experts, spending all our time on the media trying to figure out what the heck is going on because it didn't make sense. And we're trying to protect our children and everything else. When these conditions happen and then the entire population gets focused on one thing, it forms something akin to hypnosis where all they can think about, they're totally obsessed with that one thing. This is what happens with hypnosis is you can hypnotize somebody and get them to focus on just one little tiny thing. And you can do surgery on them. They won't feel it. This is a fundamental phenomena of the human mind, is this ability to become hypnotized by focusing all of your attention on one small thing. Once that happens, people lose their ability to have rational thought and judgment. Even if you weren't obsessed, you had all this fear porn coming at us all the time, 24/7 through every channel. Now, was this intentional or was it just selling clicks? There's a lot of signs that there was an intentional component here, that we're sitting in a situation in which we have been actively managed psychologically by some entity that has financial benefit or power to gain from doing this. This gets to the point about global totalitarianism. But regarding mass formation psychosis, once this happens, there's two key things. Everybody gets focused. They have this fusion of their discontent, this focus on a thing, and then leaders step in that sees this moment. And when they're identified as leaders or they're promoted as leaders, and the crowd can see no evil, they can hear no evil, they can speak no evil, and those leaders can say anything. It does not have to be true, and the crowd will believe it. Furthermore, with this kind of process, mass formation psychosis that we saw in 1930s Germany, and we've seen in other situations, outside the centers, anybody who says something that is contrary to the narrative must be attacked. These situations must have a common enemy. This was well described in the 1984 book of George Orwell, where there was this constant threat of the Eurasian forces. They were nebulous. One never really knew where they were or if they were going to attack, but they were always used to drive fear in the crowd. So this crowd now that's formed has central leaders that are lying to them all the time, like Tony Fauci. And as you see, there's a narrow world in which those people that have been hypnotized in this way, you can tell them until you're blue in the face what the data are, what the facts are. You can show them video clips of Tony Fauci lying. It doesn't matter. I was in Tampa the other day, and a physician asking questions came up in the line, brokenhearted. She has many other physicians and medical professionals in her family, and she's disaffected from all of them. And she said, it doesn't matter how much information I provide to them, how many papers I provide to them, what data I provide to them, they can't hear it. And it's true. They literally can't. They are hypnotized. This has happened all over the world. It's been actively promoted. It is the consequence of all this censorship and propaganda that we've been subjected to. And when it seems to you that the rest of the world has gone mad, the truth is they have. Okay? And the question is, what can we do about it? So I spoke to Matthias about this, about where does he see this going? And it's really a bit grim. He thinks that this mass psychosis has developed to a point where the global totalitarianism is unavoidable. It will sweep over us. We're seeing it in Austria. Number one, they're locking down during the holidays. And they say, you will be vaccinated. Now, that flies in the face of the data, which shows the vaccination won't stop the spread of the virus. It doesn't matter. They will impose the vaccines on you. They're talking about doing this in Germany. They're talking about all kinds of mandates in the United States, like you say, including for the children. Think that through, okay? So this is happening, and Matthias believes that it's now to a point that it is going to progress through the population, whether we like it or not. We have to continue to try to provide information, accurate information. There's a couple things we can do. We can substitute the fear of the virus, which is irrational, for a greater threat. We can break through to people if we help them to understand that what we're seeing is a coordinated global focus on deploying a global totalitarian solution. Totalitarianism is a bigger boogeyman than the viruses by far. Losing control to Bill Gates and the World Economic Forum and BlackRock and Vanguard is a bigger threat than SARS-CoV-2 is for you or your children by far. Okay? And people can hear that. They can see it. Matthias has tested it. And you can break this fusion in their mind. If you give them something that's even of greater concern, which is loss of their freedom, when you make it clear to people that they're on the threshold of losing their rights, they get activated. So this is one topic area that a lot of people get. And often the breakthrough thing is they're going to force my kids to take the jab. And suddenly people wake up with that one also. But the problem is all those underlying things haven't been fixed. The real problem, to be blunt, is that our society is sick. It's sick in a bunch of ways. And I think the only thing that can come out of this to get us away from that, to start to heal us, is this idea of think global, act local, that is behind intentional communities. Meanwhile, while all this crazy is going on in the world, the rest of us that are able to see through for whatever reason, maybe because we got fired from our job or we experienced mainstream media first person and realized how corrupt and twisted that world is, or maybe we experienced big science and all the corruption within big science in a very brutal first person way, things have caused some of us to be able to be a little more skeptical about what's going on in the world. So we can't get beyond this if we don't find some way to heal ourselves. And I think we got to start that healing process locally. The message that I've been trying to promote in these various speaking engagements is a message of healing, not division, and of trying to empower people to start building local community, telephone call lists, you know, work through your church, whatever your organization is, build on that. Find physicians that will administer early treatment. I think that now is the time to build local community, start to form networks with each other. We're providing information to older people who are often home alone, scared and not able to access the internet. There's a few courageous leaders politically in a lot of scared chickens. Basically, the Republican side is unified that these mandates are wrong. Now, we're having trouble breaking through the other side, but angry moms, I think, may be the thing that saves our democracy. So there is hope, but we've still got a long way to go. But I think we've seen some significant progress, so I don't want to leave everybody thinking it's all doom and gloom.
Well said, Dr. Malone. We want to build unity rather than division, healing and restoration. Folks, this isn't I'm right, you're wrong. This is a battle for the truth. Info war. This is an info war, folks. You know, the bottom line is these wicked people who the Bible calls the sons of Belial, also known as the Luciferians, are only about 1% or less. Now, they're also known as the deep state or the proverbial they. And they have perfected this manipulation, this mass formation psychosis to a T. You know, about midway through Dr. Malone's talk there, he said, we have been psychologically manipulated by some entity. Folks, that's the Luciferians. That's Lucifer and his minion, the sons of Belial. They have had over 6,000 years of history with man to understand what makes us tick on how to manipulate us. But folks, I can go on and on this. It's time to move on. It's time for Sister Kathy's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as always, let's get started with the coronavirus hype.
It's a scandemic. They call it the great equal life. And say we're all in this together. Except for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be. And folks, that ain't either you or me. So let's all wake up to the coronavirus heist and just say they know that all their lies are mind control.
So folks, the entire scandemic narrative is falling apart. From the death rates, which are now actually coming out higher for those who are getting the jab than those who had the virus. You know, cost-benefit, risk-benefit analysis, that sort of thing, it's falling apart. Well, this article on the World News Daily, WND.com, on, I don't have the date here, it's February 2022, but the virus DNA matches code patented by Moderna 3 years before the pandemic. And I always call that, of course, the scamdemic or the plandemic. So now it's been proven that the SARS-CoV-2 originated in a lab in China. Researchers have discovered this tiny piece of DNA in the virus that matches the genetic sequencing patented by Moderna 3 years before this pandemic began, folks. Now, the odds of this happening accidentally is 1 in 3 trillion. So you can conclude conclusively, or at least fairly conclusively, that this is a bioweapon, folks, just like I've been saying and many others have been saying for nearly 2 years now. And you can read about this in London's Mail Online. The code was discovered in a unique furan cleavage site in the SARS-CoV-2 pathogen. So this part of the virus is what binds to human cells. And this is what allows the infection to rapidly spread through people. And this is essentially what we've been calling gain of function. Now, how many times have we heard one of the chief sons of Belial, Fauci himself, deny that this is gain of function? even after his NIH administration admits gain-of-function research funding. I have like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 clips of Fauci lying to various senators under oath, which is perjury, folks. It's a felony. And nothing happens. And now all this evidence is out. I don't see anybody going after the fraud, Fauci. So I'm just going to pick one here. I have an 8-minute. No, let's not do that. I have a 2-minute, a 2.5. Here's a minute 47 where Fauci refused. No, let's get one where he lies. So here's a 3-minute clip to Senator John Kennedy. Now, we get a lot with Senator Rand Paul, so let's give Senator John Kennedy's question some time. Here's a 3-minute and 16-second clip where Fauci lies under oath in a Senate committee investigation on this gain-of-function research to Senator John Kennedy concerning gain-of-function.
Dr. Fauci, I believe you have testified that you didn't give any money to the Wuhan lab to conduct gain-of-function research. Is that right?
That is correct.
How do you know they didn't lie to you?
Excuse me, sir?
How do you know they didn't lie to you and use the money for gain-of-function research anyway?
Well, we've seen the results of the experiments that were done and that were published, and that the viruses that they studied are on public databases now. So none of that was gain of function. So
how do you know they didn't do the research and not put it on their website?
There's no way of guaranteeing that, but in our experience with grantees, including Chinese grantees, which we've had interactions with for a very long period of time, they're very competent, trustworthy scientists. I'm not talking about anything else in China. I'm talking about the scientists. That you would expect that they would abide by the conditions of the grant, which they've done for the years that we've had interactions.
So you don't think the Chinese would lie to you?
Well, when you say the Chinese are a rather broad group. I know the scientists that we've dealt with have been trustworthy.
Mm-hmm. You think all the scientists have told the truth in terms of the origin of the Wuhan virus and not been influenced by the Communist Party of China, do you?
I don't have enough insight into the Communist Party in China to know the interactions between them and the scientists, sir.
Here's what I'm getting at. You gave them money and you said, don't do gain-of-function research.
Correct.
And they said, we won't.
Correct.
And you have no way of knowing whether they did or not, except you trust them. Is that right?
Well, we generally always trust the grantee to do what they say. And you look at the results.
Have you ever had a grantee lie to you?
I cannot guarantee that a grantee has not lied to us. Because you never know.
We're also now running this effort to vaccinate people against methamphetamine. I know that sounds odd, but you could immunize against that compound in a way that it would no longer provide anybody much of a benefit if they decided to use it anyway. We're doing that for heroin and fentanyl, and we're doing it for meth.
But it is very excuse tough. Me for interrupting. Does that work if people have already been users?
It will. So basically getting your immune system to make an antibody so that in the future, if you encounter that drug, it can't get to your brain because the antibodies grab onto it.
So there you have it, folks. Many scientists and truthers have been saying that this has been developed, this pathogen, this bioweapon has been developed in the laboratory for some time now. And like I've been saying, this furan cleavage structure could not have developed naturally. It's 1 in 3 trillion chance. So, you know, there's a new study. It was published in Frontiers in Virology. And the researchers compared the 30,000 amino acids in this genetic code that carries the information needed to spread SARS-CoV-2 through what we call now the gain of function. So these are literally millions of sequence proteins in an online database. And earlier this month, the Telegraph of London reported that Hungarian researchers have discovered an early version of SARS-CoV-2 that appears to have been grown in a laboratory. So I'm telling you, folks, this lab leak theory that gained traction in May 2021, and this all started when the former New York Times science writer Nicholas Wade published a nearly 11,000-word analysis concluding, and this is his conclusion. This is a science writer for the New York Times. And, you know, those people are experienced, and if they're honest, they're capable of some very good research, I should call it, full of discernment. So this is what Nicholas Wade concluded, that the circumstantial evidence clearly points to a lab leak. And then the Wall Street Journal later reported, so this was New York Times, now you got the Wall Street Journal reporting back in, I don't have the date here, I apologize, that three researchers in the Wuhan lab were hospitalized with possible COVID symptoms in November of 2019 when the outbreak in this city began. So then there's this patented sequence that the Mail Online reported. And this was research that was led by Dr. Balamori Abati from the University of Oregon. And he discovered that the SARS-CoV-2 shares a sequence of 19 specific amino acids. And this is that linkage in there out of the 30,000 that is actually owned by Moderna. So when you're doing these random things like flipping a coin and there are four amino acids that build the DNA, the probability of getting a 19 amino acid specific sequence out of these 30,000 is 1 in 3 trillion. So Moderna files this patent on this amino acid sequence that was discovered in the SARS-CoV-2. And they do this back in 2016 as part of their cancer research. You remember, these mRNA technologies were originally developed to fight cancer. And, you know, think about the risk-benefit there. You're diagnosed with cancer. If you don't get into the natural type of approaches like Terry did and you just stay conventional with chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery, what I like to call poison, burn, and cut, sometimes you have a very bleak outlook for survival. So of course you'll try something like an mRNA technology. But when you have the risk of getting COVID and the possibility of survival is like 9,999 in 10,000, would you take the risk of actually having 3 in 100 chance of death? I don't know, folks. There's a lot of evidence here pointing to the fact that this was gain of function. And then there's Professor Lawrence Young at Warwick University trying to deny it. And here's what he says, and I quote, "We're talking about a very, very, very small piece made up of 19 nucleotides. Those are the amino acids, which doesn't mean very much, to be frank. If you do these types of searches, you can always find matches." Yeah, folks, you'll find matches of 2 or 3. You'll find matches of 4 or 5. But as you move up in this sequence to 19 unique pattern, a 19-chain unique pattern, the odds become 1 in 3 trillion. So he's calling it a quirky observation, but I don't call it a smoking gun because it's too small. Well, folks, in statistics, things that happen once in 3 trillion are not a fluke. They're a conspiracy. And then earlier this month, Matt Tabby and Matt Orfalia, they're both independent journalists. They produced a 9-minute video, and they documented the shift in the establishment narrative from ridiculing anyone who's proposed this lab leak theory, people like me and other truthers out there, to becoming to make it plausible or acceptable. And that's because they know they're losing control of the narrative. Remember that Facebook conspired with the fraud Fauci to censor this lab leak theory. And they also censored one of the World News Daily reports on all this early on. And this is all known through Freedom of Information Act requests on NIH emails, including Fauci. And then just last month, the former New York Times science writer that we talked about before, Nicholas Wade, spotlighted a January 31st, 2020 email that Fauci received from four top virologists showing there was strong evidence that the virus was engineered in a lab. Folks, I can go on and on and on with this stuff. And then you get the lies that come out in journals, major journals like Nature Medicine and what was the other one? The Lancet. And these are crap papers the prestigious journals have actually published to continue to push this narrative. And then there was that scam paper back in February 2020 from the British medical journal Lancet. That's the one that's so prestigious, folks. Back when I was in graduate school, if I could get into the Journal of the American Chemical Society, and I had one paper published there back in my graduate days, that's a big deal. Now, if you're a doctor, a medical doctor, and not a PhD like me, you want to get published in The Lancet. It's prestigious. So this fraud, this zoologist, Peter Daszak, you know, with the Eco Health Alliance, remember Daszak? Well, I want to play a 1 minute and 43 second clip where back in December 2019, he essentially admits that this was all designed in a laboratory.
But if you're saying these are diverse coronaviruses and you can't vaccinate against them, there are no antivirals, what do we do?
Well, so I think that coronaviruses are pretty good. I mean, you're a virologist, you know all this stuff, but you can manipulate them in the lab pretty easily. It's just spike protein drives a lot of what happens with the coronavirus, zoonotic risk. So you can get the sequence, you can build the protein, and we work with Ralph Barrick at UNC to do this, insert it into the backbone of another virus and do some work in the lab. So you can get more predictive when you find a sequence. You've got this diversity. Now, the logical progression for vaccines is if you're going to develop a vaccine for SARS, people are going to use pandemic SARS as but let's try and insert some of these other related and get a better vaccine.
And I guess also knowledge of what's there. If you see something emerging, it give it a head start on making a vaccine or a therapeutic.
That's true. And you know, better knowledge of where they are as well, so that you can put your money into these clinics that matter. And that's one of the big things that we've been trying to push. There's a lot of the word predict or the word, you know, the anticipating, forecasting pandemics. It doesn't mean you can stop them. That's the problem. So what we're trying to do is say, on a global scale, if we can show where they're most likely to come from, the species they're most likely to originate in, the people most likely to get affected, a global actor like WHO or a national government can better allocate resources to the highest risk. It's pretty simple.
So there you heard it, out of the mouth of Peter Daszak himself. And I'm going to put him right up there with the likes of Fauci. This man has an agenda that is dark, and this man has an agenda that is not of God, folks. I'm telling you that. So remember, Peter Daszak admitted back in December of 2019 that these molecules, these virus particles, if you want to call them that, the SARS-CoV-2 are easily manipulated in the laboratory. Remember, he's known for his work with the Bat Lady, Dr. Ji Xinjiang, in the bat coronavirus work done at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Now, these articles from The Lancet and the other one, the Nature Medicine Journal, these are the articles that the lying mainstream media used as their reason not to investigate the lab leak theories, but those have been proven to be wrong now. Yet they were used to freeze into silence any dissent by other scientists and doctors. So you have people like me out here who I can't even tell you, who have slandered me and belittled me for all these positions I'm taking that now over time are proving to be correct. And folks, all you have to do is ask the Lord to give you the spirit of discernment, like we're going to ask to reveal the enemies of mankind, the sons of Belial, later in this message. But these articles were frauds. These were front pieces to silence dissent. But that's all I have time for on this right now. I want to keep moving. So this lie's been exposed, and the narrative for the scamdemic is falling apart. So now they have to start a hot war, and they're doing that with Ukraine. to deflect attention away from their lies in this first step towards the Great Reset, which wasn't effective enough because the people stood up and said no. And then get this, the Moderna CEO is admitting the possibility that they patented this sequence. And I'm thinking, folks, it's not even a possibility, but this was on Maria Bartiromo's show on Fox News, and the Moderna CEO, Stefan Bancel, admits it's possible that Moderna patented the DNA, and it could be. I'm going to look into that. Listen to him. He's cornered, folks. These sons of Belial, the minion of Lucifer, are cornered. When you corner a rat, the rat fights. When you corner a raccoon, oh my, can a raccoon fight, folks? For an animal that size, they're like a mini bear, and they don't die easy. I've had to shoot raccoons before, and I recommend you don't take a 22 to do that. You need a higher caliber. I don't want to get graphic and all that, but when an animal is cornered, it fights. And when these minions are cornered, they're going to fight, and what they're going to use, folks, if they have to, is a kinetic war. So listen to Moderna CEO on Maria Bartiromo on Fox News admit the possibility they patented the DNA in SARS-CoV virus. It's a minute 17 seconds.
I've got to end on this story that has been circulating. No doubt you saw it about the origins of COVID. We've all been trying to understand how this started and whether or not this did come from a lab in Wuhan. Let me ask you what the Daily Mail is reporting. It says more evidence COVID was tinkered with in a lab. Now scientists find the virus contains a tiny chunk of DNA that matches sequence patented by Moderna 3 years before the pandemic began. Your reaction, Stefan. What can you tell us?
So my scientists are looking into those data to see how accurate they are or not. As I've said before, the hypothesis of an escape from a lab by an accident is possible. You know, human makes mistakes. So is it possible that the Wuhan lab in China was working on viruses enhancement or gene modification? And then there was an accident where somebody was infected in the lab and then infected their families and friends. It is possible. On the claim you just mentioned, the scientists are analyzing to know if it's real or not.
Yeah. I mean, I was struck by the line, it matched a genetic sequence patented by Moderna for cancer research purposes, Stefan.
Like I said, Paul, this entire scamdemic narrative's falling apart. The light of truth is shining. And like Jesus said, the truth will set you free. So I'm praying that many of these people, the 30% of our population who are under this mass formation psychosis over this scamdemic narrative, wake up. And now, these sons of Belial, the minion of Lucifer, they're running scared, hence the war. And now we're even being vindicated, folks, on another topic. And you know what that is? That is the fact that these jabs, as I played with the Moderna boss back from a TED Talk in 2017, said that the jabs rewrite genetic code information. And now that's coming out. Yes, these mRNA jabs literally change your DNA. Listen to this Moderna executive admit that in a TED Talk from 2017, and everybody was calling people like me exposing these truths as crazy.
So I started my professional life about 30 years ago as a nurse in the pediatric intensive care unit. And I remember this one infant, let's call him Jonathan, who came in really, really ill. Seemed to have a rare genetic defect, but in those days, gene diagnosis was still in its infancy, so we couldn't really figure out what's wrong with him. And in the years since, as I've trained as a physician scientist, we've been living this phenomenal digital and scientific revolution. And I'm here today to tell you that we're actually hacking the software of life and that it's changing the way we think about prevention and treatment of disease. So here's all the biology you need to know in 30 seconds. Our body is made out of organs, our organs are made out of cells, and in every cell, there's this thing called messenger RNA, or mRNA for short, that transmits the critical information from the DNA, our genes, to the protein, which is really the stuff we're all made out of. This is the critical information that determines what a cell will actually do. And so we think of it like an operating system. And it's not just in every cell of our body, it's actually in every cell of every organism alive. It's the same thing. And so if you could actually change that, which we call the software of life, if you could introduce a line of code or change a line of code, it turns out that has profound implications for everything from the flu to cancer. And I'm going to demonstrate that with three short examples.
So there you have it, folks. Right out of the mouth of one of the executives at Moderna, and his boss is now saying, well, we'll look into it. Well, they knew back in 2017 they were in the process of executing all these patents. They knew they worked. And he's lying, folks. Now, more on this next week. As I get more time to research this topic, maybe we'll do it in the looking back segment at the beginning. But I'm just telling you, folks, that it's all coming back. But right now, we have to keep moving. It's time for our Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police report, the 2020 election. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater. In Japanese, ka means solve. Boo means dance. Ki means skill from the verb. Kabu meaning to slam or display. Folks, it's all a lie. It's the flattened curve. The curve of the economy, stupid, must slow down the velocity of money. Or will hyperinflate before we're done. Stealing it all. Trump, bad. Must go. Good is bad. Bad is good. Up is down. Light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030 and the new world order. Just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
Yeah, folks, I pray every day that people wake up. Now, here's how these sons of Belial, the enemies of mankind, describe themselves, okay? This is the World Economic Forum, and a clip they have on their officially sanctioned webpage. And, folks, I went out there to try to comment on their Twitter page and on the YouTube page, and they only allow selective comments by people addressed in their post. So they wouldn't let me. They wouldn't let me comment. Boy, what do you have to hide? What do you have to be concerned about when you wouldn't let the average man, the sheep, you know, the goyim, the useless eaters, as you refer to all of us, comment? So here's the World Economic Forum and how they describe themselves. The World Economic Forum, and I'm quoting them exactly. This is a quote. The World Economic Forum is the international organization for public-private cooperation. The forum engages in the foremost political, business, cultural, and other leaders of society to shape global, regional, and industrial agendas. We believe that progress happens by bringing together people from all walks of life who have the drive and the influence to make positive change. Folks, this is the method they use to pass on their agenda from generation to generation. And it takes on different forms. As you'll see in the Ken Corner segment, it used to be the Committee of 300. Now it's the World Economic Forum. And before the Committee of 300, you had Bilderberger and the Trilateral. And before them, you had the Pilgrim Society from London. And before that, you had the Illuminati of Adam Weishaupt. And in between, there are all sorts of other small groups. The Freemasons are still active. Folks, they use these groups to advance an agenda that's bigger than any one individual. But listen to how they're describing the next threat. And this is cyber attack with COVID-like characteristics. Listen to this.
The COVID-19 pandemic has shaken our economies and societies to the core and shown us how vulnerable we are to biological threats. In the digital world, similar risks are being overlooked right now. A cyber attack with COVID-like characteristics would spread faster and further than any biological virus. Its reproductive rate would be around 10 times greater than what we've experienced with the coronavirus. To give you an idea, one of the fastest worms in history, the 2003 Slammer Sapphire Worm, doubled in size approximately every 8.5 seconds, infecting over 75,000 devices in 10 minutes and almost 11 million devices in 24 hours. Fortunately, at least until now, cyber attacks have not impacted our health the way pandemics have, but the economic damages, and therefore the impact they have had on our daily lives, have been equal and sometimes even greater.
You see, the only way to stop the exponential propagation of a COVID-like cyber threat is to fully disconnect the millions of vulnerable devices from one another and from the internet. All of this in a matter of days. A single day without the internet would cost our economies more than $50 billion, and that's before considering the economic and societal damages should these devices be linked to essential services such as transport or healthcare. As the digital realm increasingly merges with our physical world, the ripple effects of cyber attacks on our safety just keep on expanding at a faster pace than what we're preparing for. COVID-19 was known as an anticipated risk. So is the digital equivalent. Let's be better prepared for that one. The time is now.
Oh, wow. There was so much in there, folks. Even the way he ended, the time is now. You know, we did a special series of broadcasts with a group of people, Sister Kathy, Zen Garcia, and who else? Sister Jackie, and we have one other person there. Oh, he just went home to be with the Lord, and his name slips my mind right now. We tongue-in-cheek named it The Time Is Now, because that's used by the occult to virtue signal. So just like Dr. Malone said, this is our new boogeyman, folks. It's bigger than COVID. Grid down. You know, think about what grid down means. No communications. So your cell phones won't work. Your voice over internet messaging won't work. Your Skype won't work. No electricity. And then what's that mean? Well, when there's no electricity, very soon you have no fresh water. When there's no electricity, even if the banks aren't down, all of the Mac machines, all of the card readers, they'll all be down. So unless you have cash, you're not going to be able to transact business. You're not going to be able to gas. You're not going to be able to buy a gallon of milk or a loaf of bread. You know, like everybody does every time there's a threat of snow flurries. So this mass formation psychosis has shifted from the failing scamdemic narrative to the war drums of the Democrats and the neoconservatives, and even the rhino establishment Republicans. Yet no one's asking why. And that's the $64,000 question. Whatever you think of Putin, whatever you think of this crisis, have you heard anybody on the lamestream lying fake news ask, why did Putin invade Ukraine? Well, when I ask that question, I get a lot of very angry responses, and that's because these people are under that mass formation psychosis. And the only answer I've ever got is that he's crazy. He's just like Hitler. Well, folks, dig into this at all. You'll see that's not true. When people say he's crazy, you know what I want to do? Or when they say he invaded a democratically established country. Folks, first of all, the corruption in Ukraine compared to the corruption in Russia, you would have to have a serious debate as to which country is more corrupt and which country suppresses civil rights and basic human freedoms more, Russia or Ukraine. This is like bad guy one going after bad guy two. The Ukraine has become the Western world's leader's playground for money laundering, human trafficking, corruption, and they were in the process of getting ready to plant weapons pointed at Moscow that could be delivered literally in 5 minutes or less to wipe out Russia. Now, why is all this an issue? Well, years ago, when the Berlin Wall fell during the Reagan administration, Secretary of State James Baker negotiated an agreement with Gorbachev that the satellite states of the Soviet Union would remain neutral and not join NATO, allowing a buffer of neutrality between the West and the former Soviet Union. And little by little over the years, it began with the Clinton administration and it went full bore with Obama. And then the tension was reduced under President Trump. You could see the West, NATO and the United States continue to lie, continue to break their promise between Gorbachev and Baker. And now I can't even find this document. I can't find it. It's like it went down the memory hole, folks. But that's the reason why Gorbachev, whatever you think of him, is doing it. He's concerned for the safety and integrity of the Russian motherland. Now, a lot of people will say, Ken, you're crazy right now. But I'm telling you, some other very smart and influential people see the same thing that I'm talking about right now. You can listen to talks given back in 2015 by this professor at Chicago University. And I know it's a liberal left-wing college or university, but this professor was right on. He explained everything I just said in great detail. That this would happen unless the West and the diplomacy of the West honored the agreements made between Gorbachev and Secretary of State James Baker. Now, here's Trey Gowdy, who's now a talking head on Fox, interviewing Colonel McGregor concerning this issue with Putin and the Ukraine. And listen to McGregor. This is a four-minute clip. Listen to Colonel McGregor essentially say what I just said.
Here is Colonel Doug McGregor, a former senior advisor to the Secretary of Defense. Thank you for joining us. Why do you think Putin is doing this? What is his end game?
Well, Vladimir Putin is carrying through on something that he's been warning us about at least for the last 15 years, which is that he will not tolerate U.S. forces or their missiles on his borders, much as we would not tolerate Russian troops and missiles in Cuba. And we ignored him, and he finally acted. He was not going to allow Ukraine under any circumstances to join NATO. And what's happened now is that the battle in eastern Ukraine is really almost over. All the Ukrainian troops there have been largely surrounded and cut off. You have a concentration down in the southeast of 30,000 to 40,000 of them. And if they don't surrender within the next 24 hours, I suspect that the Russians will ultimately annihilate them. That's why Zelensky is meeting with Putin's representatives right now. The game is over, and he's going to have to negotiate the best deal he can get. And we've already told him, the President of the United States has, that if he opts for neutrality for Ukraine, we'll back him. And I think that Vladimir Putin will do that for Western Ukraine. That is the Ukraine beyond the Dnieper River. But behind it in the east, where he is now, I'm not sure what he has planned there, whether he forms another republic, annexes it into Russia, because historically it has been Russian. But the territory west of Ukraine is not. He knows that, and he's happy to live with that as a neutral state.
I am not a military expert. I'm not even an expert on geography. But if he takes Ukraine and Ukraine abuts Poland, then he's going to have a NATO country abutting him. So if that's what he doesn't want, then isn't he going to just have to keep going until he runs out of NATO countries?
I guess I should say it again. He has no interest in crossing the Dnieper and heading west to the Polish border. I think you're going to find from these negotiations he's quite willing to neutralize that territory on the Austrian or the Finnish model. Right now, Russia already touches Estonia and part of Latvia. White Russia, of course, touches Lithuania. He's not interested in going to war with us, and he has an army that's too small for that purpose. And he knows it. His economy is smaller than that of South Korea's. So this is not something that he's looking for. We are imputing to him things that he does not want to do in our usual effort to demonize him and his country. We need to remember that Ukraine is fourth from the bottom of 158 countries in the world as corrupt. Russia is perhaps three or four places above them. This is not the liberal democracy, the shining example that everyone says it is. Far from it. Mr. Zelensky has jailed journalists and his political opposition. I think we need to stay out of it. The American people think we should stay out of it. The Europeans think we should stay out of it. And we should stop shipping weapons and encouraging Ukrainians to die in what is a hopeless endeavor.
So when you say stay out of it, you mean no sanctions, no military aid, just let Russia take the portion of Ukraine they want to take?
Yes, absolutely. I see no reason why we should fight with the Russians over something that they have been talking about for years. We simply chose to ignore it. And more important, the population there is indistinguishable from their own. You know, the thing that's so disturbing is that on the one hand, we will not send our forces to fight, but we are urging Ukrainians to die pointlessly in a fight they can't win. We're going to create a far worse humanitarian disaster than anything you've seen thus far if it doesn't stop.
Thank you for joining us. Welcome back to this special edition of Sunday Night in America, Images of Strength and Images.
Well put, Colonel McGregor. Folks, you should have seen Trey Gowdy's face when he was saying all those controversial things that the mass psychosis indoctrinated people can't stand to hear. Because what you were hearing was truth. And remember, Schopenhauer, the German philosopher, said that the three steps to exposure to truth include, first of all, ridiculing it, secondly, bitterly opposing it, and then finally, thirdly, resolving to accept it. Well, I would say that most people right now are in the ridicule stage or the, you know, firmly opposing it stage, so either stages one or two. Now, I do want to make one comment, and that is that I have heard now on two clips here, and I don't know if any of you noticed it, and every time I hear it, I cringe. First of all, Dr. Malone, in that very good clip we played at the beginning of the show concerning mass formation psychosis, talked about preserving democracy. And then I just heard the colonel talk about democracy. And folks, democracy is essential to socialism. Democracy is a bane to free society and the rule of law. And more on that next week in Ken's Corner. And I'm hoping a lot of you people already know this. But next week we're going to get into more of this democracy in Ken's Corner. And I'm writing that down right now. Ken's Corner, democracy versus republic. And how dangerous that is to promote this idea of democracy. You know, one man, one vote. Extremely dangerous. So there are thinkers out there who are being suppressed in terms of this dialogue concerning this Ukrainian crisis, just like we had the thinkers under the scamdemic who were saying, hey, this is gain-of-function research. Hey, the jabs are dangerous. Hey, face masks don't do anything. Well, now just shift the topic from a pathogen, a virus, to a war and the threat of cyber attacks and thermonuclear global war, also known as World War III. So the narrative has shifted, but the methodologies of these enemies of mankind, the sons of Belial, you know, the minion of Lucifer, hasn't changed. Now, even everyday people like this guy I'm going to play next are waking up to our enemy's lies. Listen to this guy, and I'm going to have to give you a profanity warning. He does drop the F-bomb, so if you have little children there, cover their ears or mute the sound right now on this segment, and it's going to go for about 2 minutes and 18 seconds.
Here's the theory on all of you. Putin was WEF along with Trudeau and the rest. I don't believe any of this shit. Yes, there's a war, but in war, it's always the peasants and the peons and the civilians that die, right? So what Putin's done is he's mobilized a bunch of fucking Mongols and fucking Eskimos,
Chechens,
people without social media,
miles away,
a bunch of 20-year-olds, told them they're on a military exercise, put one military exercise, then told them they were attacked and sent them into fucking Ukraine. They didn't know what they're doing. Most Russians don't even know what's going on. That's the first thing that's happened. Ukraine's defending itself, but, and not to sound too crazy, Alex Jones, 7 months ago, said Russia's going to invade Ukraine in February.
Alex Jones?
It's all video.
And he's been proven right before.
He's been proven right over and over again. He goes, don't worry, there's going to be a big thing in February, World War III, to distract us. Now, are they trying to distract us from the COVID crime for the last few years? Is it because the international banking system's fucked? Is it because inflation's out of control? Do they need this war for some reason? Because I am at the point now where I have so little faith in politics. I believe there's somebody above Ukraine and above Putin who's made a call to both of them and said, you're the good guy, you're the bad guy. We need this now. Go. Send some people to get blown up. Some idiots that no one has a Facebook account for. No one's going to know they're gone because we all live on the internet. No one with an Instagram. Send them to fucking go die. And we're going to cause some issues so we have an excuse for inflation and the banking system failing and the dollar failing and all the COVID lies and everyone getting sick from the vaccine we made them take and every fucking fuck everything else. I really am at that point now where I have no faith in any of it. I'm not saying the war isn't happening, but I'm saying the reason they're telling us is fucking bullshit.
I agree.
Why is Putin just invading Ukraine to the point of trying to take Kiev?
To what end?
To what end? He ain't going to be able to take Kiev without massive civilian casualties. No one's going to accept it. The Russian populace won't accept it. Half of them have fucking cousins in Kiev.
The Russian military won't accept it.
it, a lot of them.
The Russian, most Russian soldiers from Moscow won't fucking attack Kiev. Attack Kiev, you need some Eskimo idiot. None of this makes sense. So I'm a conspiracy theorist now. None of it makes sense. I sit in the war room. I'm sitting here in case the Russians come. But I don't believe in any of it anymore. Alex Jones is right. Alex Jones.
Folks, when I hear stuff like that, where I hear the common man wake up, I'm telling you, that's the reason I do this. That's the reason I put myself out there and take the criticism from my peers and contemporaries in the scientific community, my friends, family, people at church, when I say, well, why did Putin invade? I want to wake people up like this guy and help them see the light of truth. But folks, I have to keep moving. I hope you see how I'm trying to shape this today so that you understand that there are some very evil people behind the scenes manipulating the politicians, the media hacks, the scientists who are too afraid to speak the truth because they'll lose their pension and their fat paycheck. Well, folks, you know, I lost all that when I left PPG 22 years ago. I lost my pension, I lost my paycheck, I lost all the company insurance, I lost all of that. But I had to do what my passion was, and at the time it was to start a new company and do things the way we knew they should be done, but the corporation wouldn't allow us. Well, in a sense, that's a quest for truth, that's a quest for beauty. The same thing that I think happens when you stand up and try to wake people up. But right now I have to move on. It's time for Coop Talk with Henrietta. Hey, Henrietta. There she is. Hey, folks. With all these wars and rumors of wars and fear of grid down with a cyber attack and the loss of electricity and the loss of the ability to go to the grocery store and get food or even fresh water, I thought it would be a really good idea today. Oh, and the threat of nukes. I thought it would be a real good idea to talk about some prepping. And specifically, I want to talk about low-tech prepping as opposed to prepping in general. And I think one way to approach that topic, which is rather large, is to discern the truth between needs and wants. So really, folks, the only thing we truly have to have are those things we need, and not those things we want. So I've tried to make a list of just the basic things that we need. And by that, I mean the things you need to survive. You need food, you need shelter, you need clothing, you need sanitation, and you need some form of defense. Now, maybe for you, that's a spiritual wall, a hedge like Hezekiah put up against the wicked king Sennacherib in the spiritual realm. Or maybe that's actually weapons, firearms, swords, knives, or even a club. But in some realm or some reality, we need all those five things: food, shelter, clothing, sanitation, and defense. So those are true needs. Now, what are wants? Well, wants would include things like entertainment, booze, recreational marijuana, drones and night vision and sat phones and even ATVs and guns. And I say guns, plural. Because if you do decide that you need a firearm, you know, one or two will do. You don't need this arsenal like they had in The Matrix, you know, where all of a sudden they're going to go and save, what was his name, Morpheus. So he had to go and pick an arsenal and load up with guns. So even though many of these things are tools, essential, or not, I should say essential, but beneficial for survival, they're more of a want than a need. And if there is a grid down scenario, if there is an EMF attack, if there is anything that's going, things like night vision goggles, even sat phones, if they're not shielded, could be damaged by an EMF attack. So I encourage you to focus on the wants and do it simply. Like, think about how you can simply grow food, simply acquire food, simply maintain a shelter, simply manage clothing, sanitation, and defense. My bottom line message to you is avoid gadgets. Learn to improvise. Now, improvising is very important. Suppose you have a water line blow on you and you have to replace it, but you don't have any more of the hose clamps. You know, with a little bit of steel baling wire and a screwdriver or a combination wrench, you can make a hose clamp literally on the line as it's attached to whatever you're clamping it to. There are videos out there on that. So that's what I mean by learning to improvise. You know, very simple things like a roll of duct tape, some super glue, and you know, you can actually stitch yourself together with super glue if you get cut. And they actually have medical grade versions of this. But if you have a clean wound, super glue works, I know, because I've done it to myself. So that's what I mean by learning to improvise. Cable ties, duct tape, very simple things. The two-pack epoxies that come in the little syringe, you can repair so many things with that. And then also learn how to repurpose. You know, you just finished a drywall project and you have that 5-gallon bucket. Well, before that drywall compound dries up in there, clean it out with a little bit of soapy water. You have a very good utility bucket. Now, right now, I know you can go to Walmart or Lowe's or any of the box stores and buy one of those with their name on it for about $3 or $4. But those days are numbered. That's what I'm trying to tell you, folks. So learn how to repurpose. And then also, I recommend that you go out to nuclearwarsurvivalskills.com. That's nuclearwarsurvivalskills.com, and download the free PDF of this book, Surviving Nuclear War. And it was a civil defense manual published back in the 60s at Oak Haven Laboratories, which was a nuclear lab, back when we had the whole Cold War going full bore, and we had civil defense drills and all that. But there's a lot of very good information in there. You know, a nuclear blast, provided you're not at the epicenter, in any of the radius areas that are impacted with severe heat or fire or whatever, in terms of a actual kill, you know, from a sonic wave or a heat wave, if you're further out from that blast radius and you do some common sense things that are outlined in this book, you can survive that blast. But folks, we have to move on. It's time for our Hopium Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on Hopium.
Oh, I'm sorry, I had my microphone off. So I have this clip right now, Vernon Jones, who is running for a congressional seat in, I believe it's Georgia. He was just endorsed by President Trump. And he used to be a very conservative Democrat, but he's converted to a Republican, probably seen the light. And he's running in Georgia's 10th congressional district. I do have it in my notes here. So like I said, President Trump just endorsed him, and he has officially joined the party back in January 2021. And right now he's serving in the Georgia House, where he has been a conservative Democrat for many years. And he joined John Fredericks a little earlier this week and talked about his plan to get President Trump back into the White House. So I'd like to play this 1 minute and 39 second clip. And after it's all done, I think you'll see why it's in the opium section. But here it is.
Vernon, let me ask you this. You got the endorsement from President Trump. I know he's going to come there and campaign for you. One of the things that you said publicly the other day that I thought was fascinating, you said, hey, elect me to Congress, get us a majority, and when we vote for Speaker, you said that you're going to nominate Donald Trump for Speaker and put his name in nomination and whip him votes. Tell me about that.
Well, yeah, day one, I will offer articles of impeachment of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Why? Because they have failed the American people. They have not upheld the Constitution. And an example of that is what they're doing with the borders, not enforcing the law. And you and I both know the Constitution provides for the House of Representatives, if they want to, they can appoint a non-member. When we take Congress in 2022, I will be nominating and voting for Donald Trump to be the Speaker. And once the Senate confirmed the impeachment and throw out Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, then President Trump will be the president of the United States. And I say that, John, we cannot wait till 2024. Joe Biden is destroying this country. We need President Trump now. I mean, look at the difference between President Trump's administration and Joe Biden. It's a no-brainer, no pun intended, to Joe Biden. But we need President Trump back at the with his hands on the dike of this county, of this state, I should say, and this country, and you know, stand up to these world leaders. None of this would be happening with Russia or China or Iran if President Trump was president today.
Vernon.
So there you have it, folks, and I hope you see why it's in the Hopium Report. I don't know. That's out there. Vernon, I wish you all the best, and I'll pray for you. But, you know, we were talking about the probability of that genetic sequence found to be the same as that which Moderna patented back in, I think it was 2016 or 2017, for cancer treatment, having a chance of happening naturally at 3 trillion to 1. Well, Vernon, I think your plan is about the same odds. But we have to keep moving. It's time for the Absurdity
Report. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
Folks, right now it's time for a global affairs lesson from the idiot literally one heartbeat away from the U.S. nuke launch codes. Listen to Kamala Harris explain the Russian-Ukraine conflict in 30 seconds.
If you're watching any level of news, even social media, you're seeing everything that's going on right now in the Ukraine. Break it down in layman's terms for people who don't understand what's going on and how can this directly affect the people of the United States.
So Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong.
No. You know, Kamala, you probably listened to it and had a laugh at how stupid that was. Now, when you think it can't get any more absurd, you know, you start to hear things in the news, the mainstream news that should have been on the old conspiracy theory movie with Mel Gibson. So just when you don't think it's going to get any worse, this comes out from Fox News. Listen to this.
Right now, it's a critical time because we know that we not only fight for Ukraine, we fight for this new world order for the democratic countries. We knew that we are the shield for the euro. We fight for this new world order. We fight for this new world order.
So this was parliament member from the Ukrainian parliament. Her name was Kira Rudik. And she essentially said the quiet part out loud. She recognizes that this is all about the Great Reset, the New World Order. So, like I said, this is absurd. Now, one more. This was on CBS, and folks, I didn't have time to get this clip up. But now they have this war within the war narrative they're trying to start. And the title is Transgender Woman Says Transphobia and Discriminatory Laws Keep Her Hostage in Kiev During the Russian Invasion. So this Z Femalu, who was born and raised in Crimea, that's the area that was invaded by and taken over by Russia in 2014. And boy, that gets a lot of bad press too. You have to look into the history and the background on all this. So this is a 31-year-old man who now lives identifying himself as a woman in Kiev, the capital city that's been under attack by the Russians now for coming up on a week. She's running out of food, and she can't leave because when she goes to the border with Poland and her passport identifies him as a male, they're not going to let her through when he tries to say he's a woman. And, you know, when you start to think about all this stuff, it's very crazy. It's absurd. And that's why I put these reports in the Absurdian report. I mean, come on. Can you believe this is true? Can you believe that CBS did this? That's right, Alvin. It's really absurd. A war within a war? A war within a war? Yeah, you can't make this stuff up. Folks, CBS News is trying to make this war about transsexuals. I think I've heard everything now, folks. You know, the author of The Brave New World, Aldous Huxley, he wrote this, and this is one of those quotes that stuck with me for 30 years. In a few years, no doubt, marriage licenses will be sold like dog licenses, good for a period of 12 months with no law against changing dogs or keeping more than one animal at a time. And this is the point right now. As political and economic freedom diminishes, and who can deny that that's not happening, sexual freedom tends to compensatingly increase. Folks, isn't that exactly what's happening? So we have all these liberal laws concerning homosexual marriage and the alphabet soup of gender identity, and men can go into women's restrooms. That's all sexual freedom. Now, the balance between political and economic freedom goes down. Sexual freedom goes up. And the converse is true. This is the balance or the thread of decency that all civilized societies had to grapple with all the way back to the time of the Romans. You know, when the Roman Empire was very powerful and strong, the people had incredible political and economic freedom, yet there were very strong social norms concerning sexual conduct. Now, as the freedoms, both political and economic, of the Roman citizen began to decline, as the emperor became more and more bold in his building of empire and his need for money to maintain this control of the world, as it was known back then, people's political and economic freedom diminished and sexual freedom increased. You know, the Roman bathhouses and homosexuality between the senators and the young men. Sound familiar? Well, folks, I'm running out of time, so I want to cover just one more absurd report. Did you hear about the new phantom honking that lingers for many downtown residents in downtown Ottawa? This is true, folks. You can't make this stuff up, but I'm just going to cover a few of these points here. This was out on Canadian Broadcast Corporation News. It was posted on February 26th by Nicole Williams, and basically it's talking about this new form of post-traumatic stress syndrome known as phantom honking. So ever since the trucker convoy was forced out of the city, all these residents are experiencing these sounds of honking horns and truck-related noises both day and night, despite a complete absence of trucks in Ottawa. Now, this one man in the interview named Kevin uses one word to describe the first days of the protests in Ottawa. And this is like absolutely crazy. I want to read his word to you, okay? And this is the quote. This is the quote. I'm not making this up, folks. Are you ready for this? Are you ready? So Kevin describes the one word that best describes the days of the protest in downtown Ottawa. Torture. Yeah, that's right. Folks, you can't make this stuff up, you know? So torture is the reason behind some of these class action lawsuits that these residents in Ottawa are now filing against the truckers and the supporters of the protest. This is absolutely insane. You know, they are literally going to the law of the land, and they're saying, I've been damaged, I've been tortured, and I deserve compensation.
Gosh. Golly. Gosh.
Yeah, Gomer. That's right. So now, apparently, honking is on the same level, akin to the torture that people like you in the Marine Corps experienced in real time, you know? So now honking will trigger the snowflakes, and they're going to have post-traumatic stress syndrome. You know, so much for the real trauma that people like Gomer and others expose themselves to serving this nation in the military. Folks, you just can't make this stuff up, and that's why all of these reports were in the Absurdian report. But I have to keep moving. I'm running out of time here. You know, actually, this is kind of fun today. It's time for Ken's Corner, spelled with a K. Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started. So last week, folks, I promised that I'd share another influential book and my musings on that book that helped me in my red pill process of over 30 years ago. And that's The Club of Rome, The Committee of 300. It was a book written by Dr. John Coleman, who was in the intelligence community. And I just want to walk through some of the chapters in the book. The subjects include, and just listen to some of these chapter titles, Echoes of the French Revolution, Crowley, Pike, and Mazzini, What is the Club of Rome? The Connection to Global Genocide. Let me repeat that one. The Connection to Global Genocide. Think the scamdemic, the jab, and now the threat of nukes and the nuclear fallout. How about this one, Men Are Like Insects? Oh, there's a chapter titled Foreign Policy Decisions. And, you know, essentially, failed foreign policy diplomacy over the last 30 years is what led to this conflict in Ukraine. In my opinion, it's engineered just like Pearl Harbor was, so that FDR had a reason or excuse to get into World War II. Maybe more on that later. Here's another title of a chapter. What is socialism? Hey, listen to this one, the next chapter after that, NATO and the Club of Rome. You know, folks, NATO and the Club of Rome is essentially the same today as the World Economic Forum and NATO. A return to the Dark Ages. Secret societies rule from behind the scenes. Isn't that what I've been talking about here, folks? NASA and the Club of Rome. The mess of the money systems. Dire predictions. Curbing nuclear energy. Global Report 2000. You know, that was essentially the World Economic Forums and the Mover and Shakers plan for 2000, and they missed their target. So it became Agenda 2020, and then it became Agenda 2030, and now it's the Great Reset. And then he also has a chapter on the black nobility. These are some of the people that have moved these aims towards global domination and, you know, basically setting up the seat for the Antichrist for the last 6,000 years. So the Club of Rome is the chief think tank, the non-governmental organization of the New World Order at this particular time in history. So this is back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and then the World Economic Forum started to gain some traction. Now, this book was published in 1970, 1 year after Dr. Coleman began speaking all around on this. He would go to any kind of freedom movement talk, any kind of freedom movement seminar, and this Committee of Rome played a vital role in the U.S. government planning, internal and external, kind of like the CFR and the World Economic Forum do today and the Bilderberg Group. And by the way, it has nothing to do with Rome, Italy, and the Catholic Church. The name was chosen to deceive. And it also acts as a foreign policy think tank. And the members of this committee, oh my, what a group. It included some of the wealthiest members of Europe and the U.S., and the membership also was closely guarded, but, you know, it leaks, just like the membership, or I should say the attendees of the Bilderberg Group. Now, the late Giovanni Angelelli was a top Illuminati figure, and he was a member, and he was actually counseling people like Winston Churchill, Nikita Khrushchev, and even President Herbert Walker Bush. So you had an Illuminati figure, a known Illuminati figure, counseling these people through the Council of Rome. Council of Rome, or the Club of Rome, I should say, was responsible for this concept of population control. And this was completed in 1968. And then you started to hear about the population explosion and all the things that needed to be done. Now, the founder that we talked about last week, Aurelio Pesci, we played that interview, remember? We played that last week. He advocated carrying out the suggestions of Bertrand Russell, a humanist, who wanted to introduce a second black plague on the population of the world to reduce population, something that could wipe out the unwanted people, the useless eaters, a drastic population reduction in countries all around the world. Sound familiar, folks? Sound like the scandemic and the death jab? Now, couple that with the potential of radiation fallout from a nuke or two, and you literally have a modern-day black plague. So as many fall from the compounded side effects of this 1-2 punch, you know, the death jab and the radiation poisoning, you basically will experience the release of a two-stage weapon system. But that's a story for another day. Right now, folks, it's time for Back to the Future. Where we take something old and bring it back to the future. So let's wind the clock back, folks, back to the 1930s, when Klaus Schwab was born, 1938 to be specific. And folks, I'm telling you, there's this excellent research that's been released by Michael McKibben of the Leader Technologies Group. Now, he had a group of researchers working with him, and these guys did a deep dive into history and the lineage of the World Economic Forum's founder, Klaus Schwab himself. And I'm telling you, folks, if we had an honest media system, this information, this report, should be up for a Pulitzer Prize, but it won't be. But let me share what he, this Michael McKibben, and his group over at the Leader Technologies Group found out about Klaus Schwab. This is a circus barker, a fraud. Now, what they learned, okay, about the founder of the World Economic Forum, this group that now replaced the Club of Rome, this non-governmental organization is shaping the mindset and the policy decisions of major countries around the world. They've discovered that Klaus Schwab's hometown of Regensburg, Germany, was the first German city to practice eugenics, the killing of useless eaters, okay? Now, hold on. It gets very interesting. And I hope you see at the end of this that Klaus Schwab is essentially a sociopath with, I'm going to call it, pathological mummy issues. So Regensburg was the transport hub for stolen Nazi gold that came from the Swiss Bank for International Settlements. Oh, by the way, run by the Pilgrim Society that I mentioned earlier. You know, people like the former CIA director of the United States CIA between 1953 and 61, Alan W. Dulles, he was a member of the Pilgrim Society, essentially a spy, as was Edwin Pauly. You know, he was the guy that kind of structured the Allied reparations for the defeated Axis powers after the war. And then let's not forget about good old William Donovan. You know, he was director of the OSS. That was the precursor controlled by London's MI6 prior to the establishment of the CIA. Well, all of these people were involved in some way or another with the transport of this stolen Nazi gold. Now, the Schwab family, was exploiting slave labor and allied POW labor to manufacture key bomb-making technologies for Adolf Hitler. And they also sold flamethrowers to the Nazis that were built in Switzerland, folks, supposed to be a neutral country. And, you know, you get into all of these things and you start to see that there's a lot of dots to connect here. So Schwab, the father Schwab's Etcher Weiss Company, was doing all of this in Regensburg, and he was being protected by none other than Hitler himself. So he had these ties to Switzerland and Britain and America, and he was covered or protected by Hitler himself, just like the Ford family was. Even though you had a war, Ford was actually supplying a lot of the equipment machinery that Hitler needed to build his war machine. Now, get this. Schwab's biological mother was a Jewess named Emma Giselle Tequila Schwab, and she was a sixth-generation descendant of none other than Amstel Rothschild himself. So, folks, here's another son of Belial, Klaus Schwab. Now, how to the news today? Why did I have this in this section? Well, folks, I want to play a clip of Klaus Schwab himself comparing the cyber attack worries to COVID. So here's a 56-second clip of Klaus Schwab perpetrating this fear porn to create this mass psychosis formation issue. Listen to Schwab himself. This man is wicked. He reminds me of those guys from some of the James Bond movies, the bad guys, the villains. Listen to him.
We all know, but still pay insufficient attention to the frightening scenario of a comprehensive cyber attack, which would bring to a complete halt to the power supply, transportation, hospital services, our society as a whole. The COVID-19 crisis would be seen in this respect as a small disturbance in comparison to a major cyber attack. To use the COVID-19 crisis as a timely opportunity to reflect on the lessons the cybersecurity community can draw and improve our preparedness for a potential cyber pandemic.
You know, folks, this man sounds like one of those villains from these James Bond movies. I don't know any other way to say it. Now, since the word is out on these criminals, and, you know, the WF is getting way too much exposure, and Klaus Schwab himself is being outed through these types of reports that I just shared with you, these elite members of this group, you know, that have perpetrated the scamdemic through Event 201 at Johns Hopkins in the fall of 2019 before it even happened, you know, they were behind that, the World Economic Forum. Think about all this stuff. It's the sons of Belial manipulating this, pulling all the strings, folks. These elite members are now actively covering up all their plans for the cyber attack. You know, they had this entire section of their website on Cyber Polygon. It's gone, folks. Now, this was very similar to Event 201 before the scamdemic hit. And people are onto this now. They removed all that information, all the Cyber Polygon information on the World Economic Forum's website is gone. Doesn't that cause you to pause and say, what's up with that? Plus, just this week, the United States Embassy in Ukraine had their website updated. And the page that covered the U.S. bioweapons labs in Ukraine, there were 14 of them, it's scrubbed. So I was going to the Wayback Machine to pull it up so that I can get into more detail on this today for you. And guess what? The Wayback Machine was down yesterday. Now, I don't know if it's up today. I haven't checked yet, but they had some sort of power outage internal. The power was on outside, but they had no power. Strange, isn't it? I'm telling you, folks, these are very wicked people, psychopaths, sociopaths, having no concern or empathy for the common man. You know, they call us useless eaters, goyim, and even things far worse than that. Now, when you start to see all this and you connect the dots, you start to realize that there are some very wicked, evil people in the world that don't view other men and women like you and I may do. You know, you may have some compassion for your fellow man. You may want to follow that golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto yourself. But what I'd like to do now to wrap this message up is share an excerpt from SDG number 65, Sons of Belial, also known as the Luciferian Elite. Now, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth in an infidel? So, folks, I'm praying that the Father give us spiritual discernment, a God-given gift to all who believe, to understand and be able to see and discern the infidel, the sons of Belial, also known as the Luciferian Elite, and their ways, the wiles that they use to ensnare and trap man. Folks, I'm telling you, they're at a war with Christ and his word, the word of God, the Holy Bible, and all that's godly, including his bride, the church, and God's creation, mankind. Folks, I'm telling you, it's essential that all Christians understand who they are and how they operate in the spirit realm, and also how the enemy does. I'm telling you, folks, they operate through this dark and sinister conspiracy that I covered in SDG number 64, which I titled The Mystery of Iniquity. But in a nutshell, that's doing the right thing for the wrong reason. And what's the wrong reason? Well, that's easy, folks. That's anything we do, both good and bad, that advances our will, either in heaven or on earth, rather than affecting God's will here on earth. Now, I know that's a mouthful, but that covers it all. Let me read that one more time. Doing the right thing for the wrong reason is anything we do, both good or bad, that advances our will, our individual will, either in heaven, that's later, or here on earth, rather than affecting God's will here on earth. And folks, just as a sidebar, that's kind of what led to my fallout with my former partner here on Blog Talk Radio, John Seitzinger from Tribulation Now. You know, that whole ministry was starting to do the right thing for the wrong reason. And I'll leave it at that. But the bottom line here is that anything done for that reason is the wrong reason, folks. And that's the sub-duplicitous nature, the mystery of iniquity. Two sides of the same coin, in a way. And that's why I called it the mystery of iniquity back in SDG 64. And, folks, you can go back to all these messages. They're in the archive on the Blog Talk page for Sola Dea Gloria. Think about it like this. On the one side, there's this dark, sinister devil, and that's Satan. And then on the other side of the coin, there's this brilliant, apparent do-gooder, the angel of light, also known as Lucifer. Two sides of the same coin. Two MOs for the same villain. You remember, Paul gave us this grave warning in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 through 15, where he says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed as an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness." Folks, those are the sons of Belial. Now remember, Lucifer is incredibly wise, shrewd, and powerful. He truly is. Now, he's not opposed to religion or ordered government. Doesn't want you to pray. He doesn't want you to have a relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it. What do you think's behind all this tyranny? That's ordered government. It's ordered with a jackboot in your face, but it's still ordered government. Now, anyone that thinks, "Oh, I don't need to understand all these things, Bro Ken. I don't need spiritual discernment. I could spot them a mile away." You know, I'm going to warn you, you won't. You probably think his religion is Satanism and his government is anarchy. But remember, that's only Satan's side of the coin. We also have to recognize how he works as the angel of light. On the other side, we have Lucifer's organized religions, and even the good old USA. Yes, folks, I'm going to tell you, the things that are happening now here are all doing the right thing for the wrong reason, and a lot of times the wrong thing for the wrong reason. Who has invaded more sovereign countries than anyone else in the world? In fact, everyone else combined, the United States. Didn't the United States topple Libya? Didn't they get into Somalia? Didn't they get into Panama under George Bush 1? Weren't these all sovereign states? Weren't they all toppled? You know why? Because there was a threat of the CIA drug link being exposed, or there was a threat to the petrodollar. Then there's Saddam Hussein in Iraq. There were so many other instances, folks. All the goings-on in Afghanistan. And I could go on and on and on. So that's what I mean by that, okay? I love my country. I do not like the administration and the insiders in Washington, D.C. And that's not my country, folks. That's the evil cabal that has taken over our country. So it was organized religion and government that motivated Satan from the very beginning. You know, he wanted to be worshipped like God, and he wanted to rule and reign. And that's the truth. So bottom line, Lucifer's desire control religion and to control government. That's why we have to be so careful. He wants to be like God. He wants to rule and reign and be worshipped. And then you have to recognize that he has his ministers of righteousness. They're known as the princes of this world. And you could read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 and 8. And I encourage you, in all of these studies, use the King James, because these ministers of righteousness have gone in and started to drop the names that you need to connect the dots, names like Molech and Belial and some of the other names of the princes of the air. And that all happens. But I've covered a lot of this in past episodes, but I'd encourage you to go back and listen to some of them. And if you want something specific, let me know and I can email you that. But today, what I'd like to do is look at his henchmen, Lucifer's henchmen, known as the sons of Belial, or the Luciferian elite, and their attack on Jesus Christ, the Word of God, his church, the bride, you know, and also mankind in general. Now, you know, you could look around and see the signs of the times everywhere. I stumbled on this website. I think Sister Kathy may have sent it to me this week. And basically, oh, you know what? Here it is. It's titled Rapture Ready, Behold, I Come Quickly. And this was an article written by Jonathan Brentner. All the signs out there indicating we live on the edge of eternity. I'm just going to read through them. The rebirth of Israel. Now, we've known about that. The third temple preparations. Most people following this understands that. But there are other things happening, like the vaccine mandates and passports. That's leading us to the mark of the beast. The worldwide obsession with these vaccines. It's getting crazy. And that's that hive mind that we call mass formation psychosis, but the Bible refers to it as the hive mind. Then there's the Great Reset and the Build Back Better program. That's all getting the seat of the Antichrist ready to rule and reign over the world. And then how about that speech that Prince Charles gave at COP26 last year on November 1st? I'm going to read a quote out of it. We also know that countries, many of whom are burdened with growing levels of debt, simply cannot afford to go green. Here we need a vast military-style campaign to marsh the strength of the global private sector with trillions of his disposable far beyond global GDP and with the greatest respect beyond even the world leaders. It offers the only real prospect of achieving fundamental economic transition. So this is all getting ready for the seat of Antichrist. And then the inflation is going to destroy the money system and all of the deception, folks, and the lawlessness. I mean, we talked about Fauci committing perjury, not once or twice, but many times under oath to the Senate committee investigating the Wuhan lab leak, and yet he's out there free. And then we got the rise of the one world religion and the mocking and loss of faith that's out there. And then look what's going on right now with Russia. Well, that looks like the Gog-Magog war. So it's time to look up, folks, and it's time to understand that the enemy is pouring it all out. A little bit at who these sons of Belial are, okay? We need to understand that we're dealing with this ramp-up to the all-out tribulation. And as believers, we need to know our enemy. So let's go to the Word of God and find out about this whole term Belial that you can't even really find in some of the modern translations. So that's why I was saying that these types of studies are very crucial to be done in the King James Version, because the others have taken away a lot of this, and they were using minority texts like the Alexandrian, the Sinaitic, and the Vaticanus manuscripts that were basically written by some of these sons of Belial. But that's a study for another day. You know, none other than Luciferian Madame Blavatsky is the driver behind a lot of these modern translations, and that's really sick. And they have taken out a lot of this, so you can't even connect the dots anymore. So what they've done is they've replaced specific, proper, and revealing terms of the princes of this world, terms like the sons of Belial, Molech, you know, the various demonic entities, with generic, vague terms like rulers of this age, wicked men. Folks, I hope I'm not turning you off by all of this. There will be a message of hope at the end, but we need to know our enemy. Now, in SDG 64, I explained that the proper term from Isaiah 14:12, the term Lucifer, was eliminated from the modern translations. And that was on purpose, because he wants to keep his true identity hidden. So remember, he can either be Satan, the sinister devil of darkness, on the one side, or he can be Lucifer, the angel of light, on the other. But he doesn't want people to understand this. Now, Lucifer's ways and the ways of his ministers and the magistrates, the sons of Belial, the Luciferian elite, like I said, they appear good and godly, but beware. So let's see what the Word of God has to say out of the King James about the sons of Belial. Well, Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 13 says, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which we have not known. So these children of Belial, they're serving other gods, the princes of this world, the fallen angels. Now, according to the Dead Sea Scrolls, in the war of the sons of light and the sons of darkness, Belial was the uncontested ruler of the dark side. Now, I know that's not canonical scripture, but you can piece a lot of these things together. And I'm going to read a quote out of it. But for corruption, thou hast made Belial the angel of hostility, for his dominion is in darkness, and his purpose is to bring about wickedness and guilt. Folks, isn't that what's happening? So Belial is one of Satan's principal demons, one of the chief fallen angels. Now, other writers and other writings that you can read in the Apocrypha say that he was created next to Lucifer before the fall. And after the fall, he was a king of the underworld, governing 80 infernal legions. Now, you can read about this in the Martyrdom of Isaiah in the Gospel of Bartholomew. Okay, now I know they're non-canonical. They're extra-biblical works, but they piece together a lot of this concerning our enemy, the sons of Belial. Now, you can also read some of the very famous books on this type of stuff, like Milton's book. And you'll see a lot about this demonology. And what John Milton did was research all this and put it into his classic work. So let's just leave it that Belial is one of the fallen angels who did not keep his first state but left their own habitation, you know, like Jude, verse 6, puts it. Now, in verse 14, we see Jude aware of this book known as the Book of Enoch. And this contained this is still contained in the canon of Ethiopian and Serbian Bibles. And Enoch tells us that there were 200 angels like Belial who left their first estate. And you can pick that story up in chapter 6 of Genesis, verses 1 through 4. And let me read this to you out of the King James, okay? And it came to pass, when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, these are the 200, saw the daughters of man, and that they were fair. And they took them as wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of man, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. So these mighty men, these men of renown, they're the sons of Belial. And in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 12 through 15, they're referred to as naughty persons. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. Now today we think naughty's cute. Oh, were you naughty or were you nice? Is Santa Claus going to bring you a gift? That's not what naughty stands for. It's a synonym for the sons of Belial, folks. It's people broken without remedy, spirits, dismembered men of renown, giants whose spirits now roam the face of this earth looking for people they can possess. So this term naughty in Proverbs 6:12 is Strong's Hebrew number 1100. Which is none other than Belial, the same word we read in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 13. Now, you can't put this together when you read the modern translations. And then Jude refers to them in Jude verse 4 as certain men, and he warns us that there are certain men who crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, when society collapses, sexual promiscuity and sexual freedoms increase as we lose our political and economic freedoms. This is all their methodology, folks. These are the ways and the wiles of the devil taught to the sons of Belial, now being taught to the henchmen through these non-governmental organizations. So why is all this important? Well, as Christians, we must beware of our enemy, whose aim is to undermine the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, his holy word, the Bible, and attack his bride, the church, and go after mankind in general, which is our mission field. And they're doing this all for their Lord, Satan, also known as Lucifer. And they are righteous while they're doing it. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 through 16. Folks, I have a couple more pages. I'm running out of time. There's so much to cover. So, as Christians, I encourage you to be aware of this enemy. Now, he's attacking certain things. First of all, he's attacking Jesus Christ, but he knows he can't hurt him, so then he goes after his people. And we see the Bible calls him a liar in 1 John 2, verse 22. And secondly, Satan, the enemy and his minion, deny that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. And the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 22 and 23, that whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Antichrist, or he, I should say more generally, a Antichrist. So these are important things to understand. This spirit of Antichrist, it's not just in the Antichrist. It can be found in his minion. It can be found in all the people that are doing the right thing for the wrong reason. And thirdly, Satan, the enemy, and his sons, they deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Now, this is not new, folks. This goes back, way back. And you can see it through the ages in the writing of some of the heretics. And it was always challenged by the church fathers and corrected. But I see it creeping in over and over and over again. And it was picked up by the theosophists. You know, that was founded by Madame Blavatsky. And by the way, she's a Luciferian. And her two keystone works, The Secret Doctrine and Isis Unveil, makes this very clear. I have these two books on my shelf here. And she resurrected a lot of these occult teachings from the Gnostics and other pagans out of Alexandria, Egypt, and India. And today, the humanists embrace her works as New Agers. And she even published a magazine for a while called Lucifer. Now, it's morphed into the Lucis Trust. And you can go out there and see, they have a website. Just go to Lucis Trust. And they call for what's known as the Fatherhood of God and the Brotherhood of Man. And that's basically doing the right thing for the wrong reason. Now, a lot of theologians in the 1800s were enamored by her teachings. And that's what led to a lot of these modern translations today that undermine some of these teachings that I've just shared with you, because you can't find it. They've taken the words out. And these scholars were deceived, folks. Now, I'm telling you that if you want to understand these things, you have to go to the King James. I know it's tough to read, but you can follow this, connect the dots if you do that. Now, I promised you that I'd end this on a good note. So I want to encourage you to do what St. Jude encouraged us to do in the last part of verse 4. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Folks, that's you and me, once delivered. Realize who you are in Jesus Christ, okay? You're a new creature. All things are made new. You share in the mind of Christ, which is the wisdom and power of God. Think about that, folks. Realize who you are in him and recognize that we can do all things through him or he that is in us. For he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. That's Lucifer and his minion. So we can do all things. Remember, it's not the physical realm, but rather the spiritual realm that we wage warfare in. And our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but spiritual and high and mighty under the tearing down of strongholds. Folks, that's this mass formation psychosis. That's this lie that's blinding people from the light of truth. So you can work with the Lord. You can co-labor with the Lord through the fruits and gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you ask him to fill you with the Holy Spirit, and then you'll be able to shed spiritual light and spiritual sight in this lost and fallen world. Remember, folks, our battle is mighty and high. So I encourage you, folks, to stay the course, and to never give in, and to fight that good fight, and never lose faith or hope. And remember, in the words of Winston Churchill,
never give in, never give in, never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in, except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And remember, folks, we can do this, not on our own, but with the power of the Holy Spirit, that same power that rose Jesus from the grave. Folks, I'm telling you, that same power lives in you and me. Let's lift our hands up with Jeremy Camp and recognize that the power of the Holy Spirit lives in you and me, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I love you, folks, and provided the Lord willing, I'll be back next week with another episode.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, to show a world that looks like there is no hope that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace, to stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word. Cry out for change in our world, but many times we are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus. Oh,